Meet Sven. He's very excited right now. Sven doesn't play poker, but he's still very excited. You see, Sven is a dealer for Porsche, and he's just found out that PokerStars players earn $7.5 million in VIP points every month. And with our all-inclusive program, that's enough to redeem 5 of the lovely pieces of German engineering every day. Keep Sven happy. Visit PokerStars.com/VIP to find out why our rewards program seems to leave other schemes, well, out of commission. PokerStars VIP Club, the best online poker reward program.
From the WDAE Sports Animal Studios in Tampa, Florida, it's the Annie Up PokerCast presented by PokerStars. And now here are two guys who think they know how to play poker, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long.
It's February 20th, 2009, and you're listening to the best poker podcast on the planet. I am Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
We are exhausted.
You're pretty... I wouldn't say cranky. You're not cranky yet, but if you don't get your nap and the bottle pretty soon, I think you are going to be kind of cranky.
You know, when someone calls me at 7:20 in the morning and I fell asleep around 5 in the morning, I'm not exactly the happiest person in the world. And you know, the phone call came from a sheriff, and it's never good to hear a...
Bad boys.
Never good to hear a law enforcement person on the other end of the line. But you remember, some of our fans may remember too, do you remember about a year ago... I was coming home from Sarasota after hooking up with one of our listeners down there to play cards down at One Eye Jack's.
Yeah.
And there was that accident that I almost died in. Well, now it's going to trial, and I'm the key witness.
Ooh, you're an expert witness.
Yeah. So they called me last week and said they talked to me for like 25 minutes on the phone. They said they're going to mail me something. Then they called me again and said they need me to come and do my deposition next week down at the courthouse in St. Pete. And then the guy wakes me up. After 3 hours sleep, says he's going to be there in an hour and a half, but within an hour and a half. And, of course, he waits until it's an hour and 38 minutes to show up, so I couldn't go back to sleep. And he comes up, and he gives me the subpoena, you know, and he hands it to me, and he's like, oh, here, and here's $10, too, for your $10 check for your, you know, for your inconvenience.
Wow. I'm
like, let me see. You woke me up about 3 hours before I was supposed to get up. You spent at least an hour on the phone with me over the course of these conversations. I have to drive down to St. Pete and give my deposition, which is going to take a couple of hours. Do you really think all that time and gas is only worth $10?
Oh, he could have destroyed you in jail.
Oh, I didn't do anything wrong. I'm the witness. I'm not the...
Now.
I know. And it says that, too, on it. It's like, if you do not show up, you may be in contempt of court.
See, that's what I'm saying. So
$10, Scott.
That'll teach you to call and tattle on bad drivers.
I didn't call, man. It's scene of the crime. But, yeah, and you got up pretty early today, too.
Yeah, I had to get tires in the car.
Good, because I'm tired of swerving all over the highway on the way over here.
It's more fun when it's swerving. But it just leads to subpoena, so that's probably not a good idea.
Well, the last time we were in the car together, though, we went to a charity event, and we forgot to talk about it last week.
Yeah, we were so excited. Mike Fasso was in the studio last week that we totally forgot that just a few days before that, we played poker with members of the American League champion, Tampa Bay Rays.
Tampa Bay Rays.
And I can't believe we forgot to talk about that.
How do you forget to talk about something like that?
And here's the first thing I want to talk about, is this was a charity event for Scott Kazmir, World Series Game 1 pitcher, by the way. All-star.
Yeah. Yeah, who lost when you went and paid all that money for the ticket.
Yeah, that's all right. I forgive him. But it's for the Children's Dream Fund. And so like most charity tournaments, they put the celebrity in seat 5.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I tell you, I think we're even now. Because last time we played a big one like this was the Vinnie LeCavier tournament a couple years ago. And I got Daniel Negreanu at my table.
Yeah.
And I think you got, like, what, one of the Wiggles as your celebrity?
I was the celebrity. Everyone's like, who are you? What do you do? Well, I'm a construction worker. Who are you? What do you do? I'm a mailman. What do you? So by the time it got to me, I'm like, well, I host a podcast for poker. You must be the celebrity. So, yeah, you play with Daniel Negreanu, and I play with a mailman who was off that day.
I thought you were going to say you played with yourself.
I would never say that on this show.
But so, anyhow, this time, so I sit down my seat, and who sits down at my table but none other than B.J. Upton.
That's awesome.
It was awesome, except he didn't say a word, but we'll talk more about that later. But then I turn around. You're at the table right behind me.
Yep.
And about 10 minutes later, finally, your celebrity saunters over, and it just happens to be Scott Kazmir.
Yeah, yep, World Series Game 1 pitcher, the American League champ, Tampa Bay Rays.
Exactly.
Rubbing
exactly.
shoulders with me.
Right, and you're in seat 6, and he's in seat 5, so yep. now you guys are like BFFs.
Yeah, we are. I'm actually going out with him next week. We're going to get some drinks, and you know, we're going to take out the Ferrari that he has. And you know, and the thing about Kazmir too is he was a pretty decent player until it got to be where he was like bored. And the funny thing about Kazmir too, Scott, and I think this happened at your table as well. These guys are millionaires, right? I mean, multimillionaires. They're just young guys, and they're doing this for charity,
right?
And they sit down and they say, "Okay, Scott, you want your add-on?" He says, "What? You know the $20 add-on? You get more chips." He says, "No, nah, I'm good." It's your charity, millions of dollars, and he didn't want a $20 add-on. I just laughed at that.
But he was good with the chips.
That's right. And it turned out he doubled up.
Chips.
You're right. He ended up like doubling up. And we had a running joke about the rest of the night, you know. I also had Bobby C. at my table.
That's right.
Of the American League Detroit Tigers, who won the World Series. And he had a big old ring.
Right, yeah,
and
I said... It was blinding me.
I said, "Bobby, if I knock you out, do I get that ring?" And he was like, "No, but you get a really cool Negro League jersey," because they had an authentic jersey from like the Detroit area. And it was pretty sweet, but I didn't get into a pot with him. I almost did, and then I didn't get into a pot with him. But it was a great time. I had a good time.
Yeah.
We had a real good run, you and I. You had a better run than me. But we made it to the final two tables, and you were real close to cashing in that thing, which would have been sweet.
Yeah, just knocked it off like I always do in the bubble.
No, here's the story that I like of the whole thing, you know, other than the fact that I sat down at the cash table later, made money, ended up making more money than Scott did. But, no, here's the funny thing. We get in the car. Scott says, "Oh, man." I said, "What?" He goes, "I was so close." And I said, "I know. I feel so bad. I really thought you were going to make some money. I was real excited for you. I was pulling for you." And he said, "You know, I told myself on the hand before, no stupid mistakes." And then he goes all in with King Four.
suited
to try to steal the blinds. And the guy wakes up with what? Ace Jack?
Ace Jack. He thought about it. Ace Jack suited.
I'm not going to make any stupid mistakes. And he shoves with King Four suited and gets stacked and then falls apart.
Sort of. Yeah, crippled.
Yeah, just crippled. Not stacked. But
stack.
Yeah, I mean, the other guy
what
stacked.
What kind of crazy guy calls Ace Jack? Come on.
His name was Blas. No, but really, I love that story, even though I feel your pain. I felt really bad for you to do that. But, man, unbelievable. And it was a great time. And it was a great charity. And they put on a nice little tournament down there. We had a lot of fun. It was getting hairy at the end there. It was more of a shove fest at the end, which is all tournaments really.
Which usually happens, yeah. But I'll tell you, I found myself in a weird position very early because I had BJ at my table, right?
Right.
And we knew there was some kind of a swag on these guys' shoulders. I did not know at the time that BJ's swag was perhaps the best swag of the day.
Yeah.
It was a game used bat and a glove with BJ Upton stitched in it, not even like autographed.
Sweet.
Stitched into it. But you know, we're all stalking our prey, right?
Yeah.
And it turns out that BJ Upton cannot be bluffed.
There's a shocker.
Yeah, so I had a lovely 8-7 hand where I was in position, and I made a couple stabs at it open-ended, missed on the end. And normally, in any other tournament, I would have to fire one more barrel because I know my 8 high is not going to win.
Right.
And the only way to win is to bet. But I've watched this guy call every single bet for like 4 orbits, and I just laughed, and I said out loud, I can't bet. I know you're going to call. And I flipped it up, and he won it with you know, a pair of 9s or something ridiculous like that. And the guy next to me is like, yeah, he was going to call you. So, talk about painful. I mean, not just playing against celebrities, but invalidator that you know that you can't play. You can't make that kind of move.
No, you can't. And that, to his credit, Scott Kazmir, I thought, played pretty well early on, and when it got to the end, when he got knocked out, I think it was just sheer boredom, because one guy raised in like the 3 seat, you know, but it was like under the gun too, but he's in a 3 seat. But anyway, when he raised, another guy re-raises, which would have put Kazmir all in. Kazmir calls with the Cosenza offsuit.
Yes.
And I thought, he's bored, because there's no way, after how he played all that time, to call an all-in after a raise and a re-raise from early positions with ace-10 off, he had to be bored.
Well, maybe he listens to the best poker podcast in the world.
That's true. He might. And if he does, I'm sorry for the not paying the add-on remark, Scott.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll see you Saturday. But anyway, it was a great time, great tournament, and I've been playing a lot live lately. I've been doing really well. Actually, I went down to Derby Lane last week on Valentine's Day. My wife was working, so we couldn't be together. So I went down there and played, and I had a nice little session. I put a couple of hands, or actually, I think I just put one hand up on the forum at antiupmagazine.com/forum for into the publisher's blog. I've been trying to keep up in there at least once a week or so with a new post. But it was an interesting hand. I don't want to get into that hand, really. I had queens, and I raised, and I got two callers I didn't know anything about, and they fired into me when the flop came with an ace, so I folded, and it turns out they didn't have an ace. So I was kind of frustrated. But one thing I wanted to say was there was a Valentine's Day tournament going on.
Very sweet.
Couples, you know, and I think they limited it. I heard
it was like 50
couples, right? So it was 100 players, and a lot of the players got knocked out early were the women. And I had like three women join my table in a matter of, I mean, literally it was like, I don't know, 10 minutes, like, you know, seat open on 4-4 and then a woman and then seat open on 4-4 and a woman. So they are, and then they're talking about the tournament. So I know they were from the tournament, you know, and they were terrible. And I thought, geez, I wonder if these guys just tried to, you know, hey, honey, want to do something different?
Let's not go to Melting Pot this year.
Let's not go to Melting Pot. Yeah. And I thought, you know, that's fine because you should, you know, you should be able to do something like that. And I applaud all the local rooms who do stuff like that, you know. But I just thought, wow, thank you for bringing your spouse. And it didn't have to necessarily be the woman because, I mean, there were some guys in there who were just terrible. And they came from the tournament, too. And I just thought, wow, don't bring your spouse if they're that bad, cause it's going to cost you more money to play. You know what I mean? You're thinking, oh, I can go play in the tournament, maybe win some money. And then all of a sudden your spouse is over there draining the bankroll because they're playing at the cash games waiting for you to play and I'm taking all their money, you know? Yeah. So, it was pretty cool. I sat down, I opened a new table and, with another kid from a local area, like Land O'Lakes, I think he was from. And we were talking for a while, but him and I were the first two at the table. And then we both left at the same time, and nobody at the table was left, except for us, from the original table. It was all knockouts and stuff. And yet we both were only up about 110, 120. It was weird. Everyone else got felted, and yet we were the only ones who had... It was really weird.
Yeah, I think the rake...
The rake won that night. But we had a good time, and you know, I just thought it was funny that everybody who came from that tournament came to our table and just basically sucked, you know. But it was good. Derby Lane put on a nice little event for them, and they had Hearts of Fire.
Uh-huh,
so if you make a heart flush, you get put in the drawing. It was the coolest thing. I had Ace Jack of Hearts, and I flopped the flush.
Very nice.
And another person had Queen Three of Hearts.
You play Ace Jack suited?
Yeah, I limped with it. Okay. I limped with it. I was doing my Scott imitation. So I got entered in the thing, and it says if you win the drawing, you win like a $3,500 diamond necklace. And, of course, I didn't win it, but it was cool. It was exciting to think, you know, hey, I might win something just for being here and playing. So, and they had some other stuff, too, Monte Carlo nights. And they got a lot of specials down there, so it was fun to play.
You know, and you mocked me for my my limp thing, so I like to brag when it works out. And real quick, I was on PokerStars 180 sit-and-go last night.
Uh-huh.
And I limped with ace-ace, and a very aggressive player behind me went, all in! For about a 400x raise. And then here's the best thing is I think people at the table realized that this guy was going all in all the time. So some guy moved all in behind him with Jack 8 off.
Oh, my God.
And I'm sitting there, and I go all in, and the all-in guy had pocket fives. We both flopped sets. But I felt it, both of them. So sometimes it works.
Yeah, but that was an ace-queen.
No, that's true.
Pocket aces, I feel a lot more comfortable limping with them and... You know what I mean? But ace-queen, you probably would have folded if you had ace-queen. The guy went all in, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, there you go. There you go. So I'm still mocking you.
All right, so here's the thing. We've got a lot of swag opportunities on the show now. We got three every week, right?
It's incredible.
And
where do we keep it all?
Well, yeah.
You got a pretty big shelf there in your house.
It is all inventory and tagged, and I'm thinking about getting a swag shelf curator.
And we got that ladder that is on the wheels that we roll across to climb the higher level state.
Yep, for the top shelf.
Yeah, top shelf.
Prizes. But we need folks that want to win this stuff.
Yeah.
We're getting to the bottom of the barrel on all three of our great things, the hotline, the mailbag, and the hand of the week. So send all that stuff to podcast@antiupmagazine.com. But we have a couple folks that continually send us very good stuff, and we don't want to keep, we don't want any swag hogs.
No.
Not that these people are being swag hogs.
No.
But just because, you know, they won some stuff, we don't want to not keep their good stuff off the show either, right?
Right.
So you know, we're going to throw one thing from a longtime, very active listener, AZ Slick here, into the into the banter because it's very intriguing.
It's pretty weird, actually. More weird than intriguing. I think it's really weird.
All right, very quickly, he said he went to a No Limit Hold'em tournament at Casino del Sol in Tucson, out near where he lives. And the couple things he hadn't seen, he said, one, there was an early bird $5 for 1,000 chips.
Early bird, now, does that mean like they give you like a nice small dinner, too, if you show your Social Security check?
I would say here in Florida, you know, they'd be giving away all kinds of early birds, all those old salts that show up at 6 in the morning before it opens at noon. But then a couple other things that he hadn't seen before. One, you get 200 extra chips for contributing $2 to a bad beat insurance fund, which I guess you get $3,000 in cash if your quads are beat.
That's like highway robbery, isn't it?
I think so. I think he said he went, what the heck is for $2, which is usually how they get people on this.
Yeah, thing. What the heck. $2. You get 100 people and then that's $200.
And then you go home and you run the math and you realize, oh my God!
Crazy!
That should have been like a dime, not $2. but yeah, so that doesn't sound like a very good deal at all, particularly because quads getting beat, that's, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's tough to do even in the normal bad beats, which is in the actual win one tournament.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah, it's tough.
But then the other thing that he really couldn't understand was he said he got the money together, he paid, and then the woman in the cage asked him what seat he would like, Chris.
That's unbelievable to me.
And he said he was a little confused, and she said that it was common policy that if you early enough, you could pick your seat and even the table.
Oh, my God, that is so weird. Have you ever heard of that?
I have not, and I really don't like that one.
I don't like that
I don't
at
like
all.
The bad beat insurance either, but hey, you know, if people want about $2, you know, a fool and their money are soon parted.
I think you said this before, I'm not sure, but, you know, we have enough problems that need solving. We don't need to try to solve stuff that's in the, you know what I mean? It's like, what are you doing this for? You know, there are enough things that are wrong with poker. We don't need to do stuff, reinvent stuff like this. Just draw the card. I mean, I would love to see, you know, and seat five or, you know, four, because I love being close to the action. I got short arms. No, but really, and then, you know, plus you can see all the action. It's a lot easier. You can hear everybody because you're in the middle, which is why the dealer's situated there. It makes sense. So, in the middle. But to be able to choose your seat, it's just not fair.
Yeah, I wonder if they advertise collusion tournaments. Bring your buddies early. You guys can all sit at the same table.
And here's the other thing. What if you see somebody sitting down that you know is a rube?
Yeah, exactly.
And he's already sitting at his table. And then you walk up to him and say, hey, man, is this where you're sitting? Yeah, okay. Well, I'll be right back. And then you go over and say, hey, can I be on the left of that guy right there, seat seven?
Yeah, can you like, you see the guy screaming over, what table is that over there?
Yeah, exactly.
Table six. Yeah, table six. That's where I want to sit.
Yeah.
Seat six, please. Thank you.
Now, you're passive, right? So I can do anything if I sit to the right of you. All right, yeah. Let me have the seat to the right to that rube over there with the belt around his nipples.
Yeah. Can you see a bunch of like vultures kind of like
circling the table,
circling, waiting for there's a mark. All right, I'm gonna wait. I'm getting right behind him.
Yeah, you know what I like too about this letter? He says, "I got my money together to pay the gal in the cage." Gal. You don't hear too many people called gals anymore.
No. Well. Yeah.
Guys and gals.
No, I mean, here's the thing, though. I don't begrudge a casino that tries to reward folks for getting there early, because God knows I hate showing up at tournaments for a 7 o'clock tournament and cards in the air at like 7:35 because it takes them that long to get their act together and get people seated. But I'm not sure if this is the incentive. I like the early bird. Instead of maybe dinging you for an extra $5, maybe you know, they give you a couple extra chips for
showing up early, committing to it.
And getting down, getting the flesh in the seats
Plus, at 7 o'clock. Plus, it gives them an idea of how many are going to show up, if the tournament's going to run. You know, you get a lot of people showing up. I like that idea, too. That's kind of cool, I guess. You know, if they offer, like, scrambled eggs with it, I'd be 100% in on that. But, you know, I'm springing this on you now. I didn't talk about it in the car, but, you know, I thought about the AZ Slick letter.
Mm-hmm.
And I started reminiscing about our show.
Right.
You know, we're almost 4 years old now.
Yep.
We're about to enter kindergarten. And I thought about it, and I thought, you know what? Each year, someone seems to emerge as, and I don't like to use this word, but it's fitting, our number one fan.
Mm.
You know, and I'm not sure where I'm going with this, but I know the first year, it was Irwin.
Right.
It was clearly Irwin in the Netherlands. Mr. Blanc, and he was a number one fan. Then I think the second year it was AZ Slick. I think AZ Slick was talking to us every day.
Yeah.
And then the third, third year, which is sort of straddling the fourth year, because we're about to be our fourth year, is Zorag. I think Zorag is our number one fan right now.
Right.
And I just wonder, who's it going to be? Who's going to come to the front?
Who's going
to
take the baton and walk the last
Let us know.
Mile.
I want to know who is going to be the fan, the listener that says, you know what, this is what I do. Any up. This is how I listen to them, or this is, you know. So send us your stories. I want to know why you're going to be our number one fan.
You did spring this on me.
Yeah,
I could have come up with an elaborate contest here.
Well,
but,
we still can. I mean, right. this is something that's growing. It's nurturing. It's like a relationship. You know, it's not just boom bang cut dried ink the. Contract crap. No, this is something that is going to grow and mature. So we may come up with something. We may give you some swag for this, something special. We may have something on the shelf that, you know, for our number one fan. We may run
you
your photo or something. Who knows?
I've got a couple items on the swag shelf that I know loyal fans will certainly appreciate. I'll have to pull them out of the random prize generator before today's show just in case we don't accidentally give them away. But yeah, that's a good
Isn't
idea.
That interesting?
Let's see what folks think as the Andy Up super fan.
I would love to get emails at podcast@andyupmagazine.com telling us why you're the number one listener for the year 2009. What do you think?
Sounds great.
I just totally sprung that on you now. You had no idea I was going to say that. When we go off the air, Scott's going to smack me. What the hell are you doing, man?
Running the notes.
We have a strict regimen. We have a script that we go by. Don't stray from the script. This isn't ad-libbing. It's not a freaking Robin Williams movie. You're not Aladdin.
Robin Williams.
All right, it's time for our Any Up News Desk.
After arguments in a case involving five players whose home game was raided, South Carolina Municipal Court Judge Larry Duffy said, quote, I have determined in my mind that Texas Hold'em is a game of skill, according to Bluff Magazine. The Poker Players Alliance paid Mike Sexton $5,000 to be an expert witness in this case. And I think decision's coming pretty soon, whether these guys are
guilty
or not.
You know what? I think I need the PPA to take over the case that I have to go down and do a deposition for. $10? Hell, I want $5,000 to do this deposition.
You got to work your way up.
All right, we'll see how I do on this.
When you host a TV show, not just a podcast, then maybe you could command the big bucks.
But that's awesome. I'm really happy about that. Like I said, things are starting to lean our way.
Yeah, you always like to see when judges say stuff like that. And then related, Kentucky Court of Appeals ruling bans the Franklin County Court from enforcing a seizure order against 141 online gambling domain names. Poker Player reports the court says the domain names are not, quote, gambling devices as defined by state law.
And then in the extra papers at the end of it, it said, oh, by the way, we still think the governor's crazy. Which is why we upheld this, because, I mean, he's just insane.
So, yeah, a lot of good legal stuff going on.
Yeah.
All right, what else do we have here? We have the World Poker Tour and Fox Sports Net announced that FSN will continue to be the broadcast home for the WPT for Season 8, which begins filming this year.
Totally screwing with my prediction for 2009. Lifetime beaten out by Fox Sports Net to host the 8th season of World Poker Tour. And I'm excited. And you'll see in this issue in March, which is now up online at AndyUpMagazine.com, our latest issue, I write a little thing in there about saving the World Poker Tour. So I'm happy. I'm very happy that this is happening. Now everyone start watching again.
And then finally, Chris, Annie Duke will be among the contestants on the second edition of Donald Trump's Celebrity Apprentice, which debuts on NBC on March 1st.
She's my favorite person.
Yes.
I'm happy for her. I wonder what that's going to be like.
It's an eclectic cast.
So she can get fired, right?
Oh, yeah.
I got TiVo that.
Oh, only one person doesn't get fired. Yes. I'll let you know.
I want to see her get fired.
Laura and another couple of us, we do a Celebrity Apprentice fantasy game.
Do you really?
Yeah, we have a draft and everything.
I tell you what, though. I'm going to go on a limb here and tell you that she's going to go far, if not win it. I mean, she is brilliant, and she speaks her mind, and she's pretty strong-willed. Like Trump.
And she's a woman. And those are all things that Trump likes.
Yeah, so, I mean, I have a feeling she's going to do really well.
Yeah, you know, I think she's going to fall in the draft a little bit, so I'm gonna wait and try to get maximum value out of her, but I have a feeling she's going to be on Team Long after they draft on March 1st.
So. Yeah.
But, you know, she's up against some real tough competition. Andrew Dice Clay.
Oh, yeah, he's a genius.
And Joan Rivers.
Can you imagine Annie Duke and Dice Clay getting into it? You know, because look at her and Helmuth fighting all time on that Best Damn Poker Show.
Yeah.
I mean, Dice Clay is going to offend her. You know it. He's going to offend everybody. Unbelievable. Joan Rivers, oh my God, she can't even feel her face. Hey, somebody from the Nutmeg State called the hotline this week. I'm very excited about it. 813-448-1120. You call that, and we spin the random prize generator just for you.
Absolutely.
This is Tom, and he wants to talk about PokerStars.
Hey, Scott and Chris. This is Tom from Connecticut, a longtime listener. Congratulations on your new relationship with PokerStars, which brings me to my question, or my suggestion, is that can you get somebody on from PokerStars who can explain their security and what they're doing to make sure they're not the next big internet poker scandal?
Yeah, Tom, that's a good idea. We put out a feeler to our folks at PokerStars, and I would see why they wouldn't want to get on the show and say, hey, this is why you should play on PokerStars, because we don't let this stuff happen that other sites do. But I'll let you know if we get them on the show. And, you know, everybody's concerned about security, so that's a good idea.
That is awesome. All right, I'm going to spin the wheel.
All right, spin it.
I'm going to spin it really hard this time.
Oh, wow. This is a new item to the swag shelf. Just came in the last week. Tom, send us your address, and we will ship out to you immediately a wonderful poster from the grand reopening of the Seminole Casino Immokalee down here in Florida. And on that poster, Ty Pennington.
He's so cute.
He is. And it doesn't say, move that bus, but...
move that teepee.
Or that, move that slot machine. That would be even better. But
hey, you know, when Ty used to, before he had this makeover show,
right,
he used to do like a show on TLC, like one of those Trading Spaces type shows.
Right.
It may even be the actual show. But apparently the women swoon for this guy. So Tom, if you were smart, you'd sell this poster on eBay, or
we'll give it to your sweetie.
Yeah, or put it on your sweetie's ceiling.
Oh, yeah, above
the bed.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But apparently the ladies love him. He should be called LL Ty. I mean, that's ladies love Ty, because apparently they swoon for this guy. He's got some cut arms there, nice biceps or something. I have no idea, but apparently that's what I've been told.
And then, Tom, we're going to throw in for no charge, since it's a prize, a custom Ty Pennington poster mailing tube.
Mailing tube.
So I don't have to cram it in the envelope like I do all the other prizes. It'll come to you in first-class treatment.
Annie Up practices safe mailing. That's 2 weeks in a row I got to use that line. All right, well, now let's go to our mailbag, and we got to reach way down deep into the mailbag.
We just said that we weren't going to reward people that have already said stuff, but this is how bottom of the barrel we're getting. We have to give something after the mailbag.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a good letter. But
it
comes from our good friend James from Oz, Australia, who's been on the show before as well, too. And this is what he wants to know, Chris. He says he has an idea for some discussion on the show. And he says that we talk about all forms of poker, hold'em, stud, etc., of course. We pride ourselves on that. So he thought it might be a good idea if we gave a mention to video poker. He says he knows there's a lot of strategy involved, which cards to keep, which games to play. I'm sure you guys can do that topic justice.
Always go for the royal. There it is. Sun up. There.
You're done. You're out.
That's it. That's all you need to say. Always go for the royal. Five priceless words to video poker. Other than that, you're just wasting your time. No, actually, I have no idea. Although we did have, and then you probably know because you're a degenerate, but we had a coworker at the Times when we worked there,
yes,
whose husband was like huge into that.
Right.
And he was a doctor, and they used to get the royal treatment when they went to Vegas. They'd fly him out, put him up in a bungalow, give him a masseuse, that kind of thing, you know.
Yeah.
And they played a lot, and he did a lot of studying, and he always hit royals and stuff. And do you know who the columnist is from Casino?
Bob Dancer is a big
guy. Yeah, that's the guy, Dancer. He's got a great column in that. So you can also check tips for that, too, online. I'm sure he has a column online. But what do you think?
Well,
what's your strategy?
I initially wrote him back that, you know, hey, video poker is just as complex as all other kinds of poker, so, you know, to really dive into it, we could have to spend some time. And I didn't really know whether our listeners would really respond to video poker, because it's not like, I hate to use the word real poker,
right,
but it's a different kind of poker. But, you know, then last week, you know, we spent 10 minutes on the show talking about five-card draw.
Yeah,
it's essentially
true.
The same thing.
Essentially the same
thing. You're not playing against anybody else. So, I don't know. We'll see.
I always bet the max and go for the royal.
That's not a bad strategy.
I hit one once, I think, but at Foxwoods. But here's the thing, too. You know, there is a skill to it.
Oh, absolutely.
Because, like, people, like, remember the Quiet Lion, Richard Brody?
Right.
He got banned from Harris Casinos because he kept winning them. and then they weren't going to put him in the World Series and a huge hubbub and everything. So obviously to get banned means that there's obviously a huge skill to this, to beating the game.
Well, yeah, I think there's probably more to that, because here's the thing. Really, the cool thing about video poker is you can buy these strategy cards, and Bob Dancer obviously has some very good ones.
Right.
And they're not that expensive. And you can actually put them on the little glass of your video poker machine and just, you know, when you get the thing is figured out. Unlike going, you can't do that at the Texas Hold'em table, you know, you can't. I mean, I guess you could bring out the whiz wheel or something and spin it and figure it out, but for the most part, I mean, this is the way you could just sit down. I mean, the only thing you're giving away by doing that at the video poker machine is a lot of it depends on how quickly you can make decisions to make your money back. But, you know, really the only strategy in video poker is buy a good set of strategy cards and use them.
Exactly. And this reminds me, too, there's that story out about the iPhone.
Yes.
Where they have a card counting program on it, and now they're warning all the casinos about it so that people can have it at the table with them. So, I mean, you know, you can just tell everybody, hey, I got a strategy card here on my iPhone. That's all it is, strategy for blackjack. You're allowed to have strategy cards, but the card counting thing.
Yep.
So, and if you don't know about that, just look at it online. It's Google card counting iPhone. You'll find about 100 stories on it. But that's what it reminds me of, you know. All right, well, let's solve a mystery. Well, James knows to send us our address. He's sent it like a million times.
Yeah, I think he did.
Oh, but we have to spin the wheel.
We gotta get a prize for
it. That's right. Well, you spin the wheel, because my arm's tired. I've been painting my house all week. My arm's tired. I can't reach up and spin it.
All right, here we go. Spin it. Another oldie for goodie, and we'll see how good of a Texas Hold'em player our good friend James from Oz will be after he gets the set of Texas Hold'em strategy cards from greatpokerhands.com. We'll get those out into the mail all the way across the Pacific Ocean.
Maybe you can convert those somehow into video poker cards.
Ah, yes.
There's got to be some way to figure that out.
Yes.
Maybe, I don't know.
Interesting.
But I tell you what, maybe Great Poker Hands will do that before. You know, they'll come out with video poker hand key hands.
Maybe.
That's pretty cool. All right, let's solve a mystery.
Greetings, this is Columbo from PokerWannabe.blogspot.com, and this is another one-minute mystery, the case of the oboe concerto. It's early in a large-field multi-table tournament, and we've been unable so far to accumulate any additional chips. Fold, limp, and it gets to us with ace of diamonds, queen of spades. Now, I want to discourage players with better position from calling me here, so I make it 5x big blind to go. It folds all the way back around to the limpers, who both call.
Some would say that pastrami is a more interesting meat than salami, and they would also be incorrect, sir.
The flop comes down, 10 of clubs, 10 of spades, 3 of clubs, and our two limpers both check. While early rounds are not, this is an easy board for me to make a c-bet on, and that's what I'm going to do. I make a bet of about two-thirds the size of the pot, and our first limper immediately folds, but our second one calls. The turn now comes the 8 of spades, and again, our limper checks. The pot is 1750, and you have 1800 behind, as does our opponent. So are you going to fire again, or are you just going to sit tight?
All right, so we heard part one, and we last week said we were going to put some sort of bet out there to see how we're doing. We weren't sure how much, but we were going to bet something, and we'll see what happens now. I'm dying to know what he does here. I'm still trying to figure out this title, Oboe Concerto. All right, let's listen to part two.
Welcome back. Well, what did you think of our situation? The pot is 1750. You have 1800 behind. Are you going to fire again? I certainly am. I look at it this way. Either he had a 10, in which case he would have went for my stack on the turn, or he's hoping to get to showdown, and I'm not going to let that happen. I push my chips all in, and surprisingly, he calls. The river's the two of hearts, and he shows down ace four of clubs for nothing but a flush draw. Here's a situation where our read might be right for the wrong reasons, but at the same time, because of the stack sizes, he just couldn't let it go. So there it is. We double up, thanks to nothing but a kicker. Until next time, this is Columbo reminding you that if you're going to play the oboe, you had better have a good read. That was for you, Chris.
Ah, very funny, Columbo. Very funny. Nice read. Very funny. Very funny. Well, he did make the right read. I don't know if I would have shoved there, but, you know, if you're convinced that the guy's on the draw and that you have the best hand, by all means, but shoving, wow.
And it says it's early in this tournament, too. That's
yeah,
the thing.
Early
it's,
on.
You know, late, maybe you take a chance, but early, I don't know.
Yeah, that's
get
tough.
Get some more cards coming in the next hand. But hey, you know.
Hey, he made a nice read.
Remember Sven, our friendly Poker Stars Porsche dealer? Sven's still very excited.
Yeah!
He already knows that Poker Stars players together earn enough VIP points to redeem 5 Porsches every day. What's made him a little more excited is the fact that 5 of our Poker Stars players have already claimed these lovely pieces of German engineering. Keep Sven happy. Visit PokerStars.com/VIP to find out why our rewards program seems to have left all the other schemes, well, stuck in neutral. PokerStars VIP Club, the best online poker reward program.
We're going to get back onto a regular schedule now, because when we first launched Apes with PokerStars, we had to do a kind of quick turnaround.
Right.
So the free roll was only 1 week away.
Yep.
And then we had to do our tips right away, and that was after. I think it was after the free roll we did the tips.
Yeah,
so,
I think so.
So now we're going to try to do the tips before the free roll, so you can prepare yourself to win that seat.
Right.
To play in the
and
prestigious
practice for the next
Apes event.
Weeks.
Right. So our
to actually get the banana.
Our power tips this week are going to be on Pot Limit Omaha, which are,
fun game, fun
which
game.
Is a fun game. It's our next game. It's our next free roll, which is the 25th, right? February.
Yes, the 25th is the free roll.
Yep. And so make sure you go on anteupmagazine.com/apes AIPS to check out all the details of our entire schedule.
And I think 28 seats up for grabs.
28 seats up for grabs
for the March 11th Pot Limit Omaha banana event.
It's so exciting. We're so structured now.
Yeah,
it's like we're limit poker players. Structured.
Yeah. How big is Omaha in Brazil? I guess we'll find out.
Right? That, we're gonna find out, man. We are going to find out. You know, somebody the other night said hey to me while I was at the table playing cash games, and their name looked sort of Portuguese. So I was like, hey. And then he spoke like fluent English to me and said he was just some troller looking for free money. He wasn't a fan of the show. So he didn't even know who I was or anything. It was just some guy saying, hey, A-U-N, you look like a nice guy. And I was like, yeah. He said, are you a nice guy? I was like, yes, I'm nice, but me not to trollers. And everybody else put in LOL, LOL. All right, so I'll start off the tips.
All right.
Last time when we did the tips, I had a bluffing tip, so I thought I'd continue that this time. If you're going to bluff in Pot Limit Omaha, try to be, if not must be, in late position, and do it on an uncoordinated board that gets checked around to you. You know, once the hand gets to the turn of the river, just too many hands have improved at that point, or the board just gets too scary to attempt to bluff a complete air. So, you know, make sure it's a crappy looking board. Everyone's checked, uninterested to you, and then fire out. Don't fire into a sea of people and who have yet to act, and make sure you're in late position, because otherwise you're screwed.
No, that's a good one too, because I think one of the biggest things I think a lot of our tips will be is. People transitioning from No Limit Texas Hold'em into Pot Limit Omaha and doing a lot of things that they normally do in No Limit Hold'em, which makes sense in No Limit Hold'em, but don't translate well. And one is bluffing with nothing or bluffing later because of the coordination of the board and things like that.
Yep.
So very smart.
Thanks, buddy.
Not bad.
You know, once in a while.
It's all downhill from here, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, when I don't win my seat, they're going to be like, yeah, stupid tips.
All right, so my first one is don't always bet pot.
Yes.
All right, so here's a weird thing I think, Chris, I think seems to happen when players move from no limit or a limit game to a pot limit one. For some reason, they seem to think that they have to bet the pot.
I know, that's so weird.
Even though they know they don't. I mean, I'm not saying that they like, oh, I have to, they don't understand the rules. I think for some reason, they're just like, oh, it's pot limit. I got to get my money in now because I can't get it all in. So they bet pot all the time, and pot control is a huge part of this game, and keeping the pot small so you have some maneuverability. And if you bet pot, you're not keeping the pot small. And I totally predict in both the free roll and the Apes actual event that there's going to be a lot of people felted pretty quickly because they're going to get they're going to play these hands way too big too quickly.
Well, not anymore. I mean, we know that every single person who plays in Apes is a devoted fan and listens to you religiously and follows your advice. So, I mean, you're number one on the show, so they have to listen to you. No, but you know what? I'm guilty of that. I mean, my bet pot button is so worn out on my screen, there's like a hole there. you know, kind of like with the felt to the table when they're where they do the flop, you know, it wears out a little spot. Same thing on my screen. There's a little spot worn out on my screen because I always bet pot when I'm, you know, when I'm betting because it's, you know, you're going to pay to see a hand against me.
Yeah. Well,
but
you know,
no,
and
I'm guilty of it.
There's nothing wrong with betting pot.
No,
I mean,
no,
should not,
I
never
totally agree.
Do it.
It's a great tip because people do fall in that trap. They see the button, it says bet pot, and they're like, that's my option, and I have to hit it.
Yeah, I think it's kind of lazy sometimes, too. Particularly,
yeah.
Like, if you're the first one in preflop, because the pot bet is about the same as a 3X. It's a little more usually.
Yeah, it's a little more usually.
But you're just like, eh, I don't want to actually type in 90. I just bet pot for 105.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. Just yeah.
Absolutely right. It's a great tip. You should not always bet pot unless it, you know, it calls for it. So, speaking of before the flop, that's my second tip. Never raise before the flop in early position. You can't get enough money in there to thin the field properly. Like you're saying, it's not really that much. It's just a regular 3X raise anyway. And you're letting everyone know basically what kind of hand you have and that you'll be out of position for the rest of the hand in a game where hands change on every street. Really, really early position. If you have aces, you might want to just limp and see how it plays out and hope you hit your hand because really it's just aces anyway.
The aces are really interesting because if you read like Chris Ferguson's chapter, I think in the
Full
Michael
Tilt.
Craig book,
yeah.
He mentions the why Omaha has played pot limit and not no limit. And he says that if there's no limit, you're correct to move all in with pocket aces at any time because people wouldn't have. Yeah, it's the call. So the pot controls and makes it a better game. So, but yeah, I mean, there's so many. One, I think a lot of people think their hands are better than they are later around. So you're right; you're not going to push people off hands because people are going to call with a wider range of hands. And two, it is just pocket aces right now.
Yep, that's all it is. You know, I mean, and really, I mean, if you're only making it 3X. You're going to get at least one or two callers. Now you're up against eight cards and probably more, 12. That flop better hit you hard for you.
Yeah, and I tell you, it's real tough to C-bet with if you don't improve those pocket aces.
Yeah, it's really tough.
On a board like that.
And you
that,
have no idea what they're going to do behind you. And just
it's so much easier to hit sets and have a bunch of draws and chase people
out. Just a limp.
All right, my next one is play big cards. All right, this sounds ridiculously obvious, Chris, but players get easily seduced by all those combinations. More so in Omaha 8 than Omaha High, but give yourself the best chance to win a hand. Those low cards might help with flushes and straights, but there'll be low flushes and straights. If you pair those cards, you're at high risk of losing,
yes,
too.
You do not want the second best
exactly,
hand.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, I think you're going to get into that with one of your future tips. But
yeah, my last tip.
But just because you got 5, 6 of hearts in your hand, don't get excited about the straight and flush possibilities of that.
No way.
Yuck. Yuck. So I'm not saying you have to have 4 Broadway cards in your hand to play, but be careful getting sucked in with those 2, 3, 4, 5 hands.
Yeah, over the course of playing, just try to keep track of how many times a straight wins. Do you know what I mean? And then
the low straight
and the low straight at that. So, you know, it's really not a good hand to play. You probably just want to get rid of it. But that leads right into my final tip. Draw only to the nuts. Now, we know what nuts are because we explained them.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, it's the best hand possible.
I took them off my wagon when I got home that day.
PLO can be a very costly game. And if you aren't drawing to the best hand, then you should get out. Why put so many chips at risk? And you won't even have the best hand if you do win it. I mean, if you do make it.
Yeah.
So, but make sure if you're drawing, you're drawing to the nuts and not to the second best hand. That's just
a big
mistake.
Yeah, one of the bigger mistakes for beginners, too, is getting excited about sets that aren't top set.
Yeah, aren't top set.
Because you'll find yourself up against that top set more often than you'd like.
Especially full table. I mean, sometimes, like in our home game, we play shorthanded a lot, like 5 or 6-handed.
Yeah.
So even then, you're at risk, but there's a little bit of a possibility. But in these tournaments that we're playing now, apes and free rolls, you're going to have a full table all the time, and there's a real good chance that your set of threes is beat by a set of tens, you know, or whatever. So just be careful.
Be careful. Hold hands.
Well, that's right.
All right, my very last tip. Be sure of your hand, especially before you fold. It's easy to get fixated on the obvious draws you have, but also take some time to examine the complete strength of your hand, Chris. Sometimes you might have top two pair with a gut shot straight, and then the current card, which doesn't seem to actually help, actually gives you an open-ended straight draw, and that kind of little bit of information might be what you need to make it worthwhile to raise or bet.
Yeah, I've had that happen to me, you know. But luckily, I can only remember one instance where it happened where I didn't know what I had, but luckily it was a showdown,
yeah,
check down, and the money got pushed to me,
yeah,
online, I was like, what? And you have to take hand history?
Oh! Yeah, and that was part B of this, is that especially before you fold, you know, let that time run down and just review your hand. Maybe you have some weird flush that you didn't see because you're fixated on something else, or
yeah.
Or maybe you backed into a straight that you didn't see. But, you know, it doesn't necessarily mean you need to call that big bet, but, you know,
yeah.
It's a lot better to fold knowing that you have a flush than fold not realizing you have a flush.
Hey, I don't know if it was it Poker Room, but one of the sites, I think it was Poker Room, one of the sites tells you what you have.
Yes.
I love that.
What was that?
I think it was Poker Room.
Yeah.
Because I didn't play, it wasn't Pacific.
Very early one, right, yeah.
Yeah. And on the right-hand corner would say, you know, heart flush or ace high heart flush. And I'm like, hey, you know, whatever. So not yeah, that I use it, but I think that's where it was.
I think that Poker Academy training software I have on my computer that I don't play as much as I probably should, I think it does that too, which I think is a terrible crutch actually for training software, because then you get used to somebody telling
your own hand. Yeah. But if you have that at your disposal, be sure to check that before you fold in Omaha. All right. Well, good tips and good luck in the free roll, everyone. And,
yeah, again, that's Wednesday, February 25th, next Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern yeah. on PokerStars.com. Password is anti-up. Share it only with your friends. And we'll see you there. It's, what did I say, 28 seats or something like that?
28 seats. Sounds right to me.
Yeah, about that.
Excellent.
And then March 11th for the big show.
Big show. The big show. Really, really big show.
This is Joe Seabock, and you're listening to Any Up.
All right, another long-time listener and another double swag winner for the hand of the week. But it's a good hand, and it's worth showering some extra swag on our good friend Amy from Brooklyn, who goes by Bernice Q. And apparently, did you guys have some kind of...
Oh, man, don't even get me started on Bernice
Q. ...dust up in the last tournament? Because she sent some kind of hand that said, here's the hand with Chris. And,
yeah, you know, here's what happened. It was the actual Apes event, and I had King Jack suited, and I was on the button, and it got folded to me, and I raised. She just joined the table like a hand or two before that, and apparently the big blind to her left had timed out or was sitting out, but I didn't know that. So she thought I was just definitely stealing, so she called, and the flop came all rags, and she bet into me.
And, the nerve of her betting into the ante.
And so then I was like, there's no way you got any of that. So I folded, and later on, I was like, what'd you have? Oh, I forget. I was like, what do you mean you forget? What'd you have? And she's like, can I send it to you after the tournament? I was like, yeah. Okay, and that's what I'll do. And then sure enough, when she got knocked out, I got an email from her saying, here's the hand, and she had nothing.
And
I was right.
Good.
I was right,
pretty
but
good.
I didn't, you know, I'd been crippled.
But you didn't have the balls to go through it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've been crippled. You remember what happened to me last week, where I had ace-jack versus ace-nine and lost. I had ace-king versus ace-jack and lost. So I was just, you know, I was shell-shocked, I guess. So anyway, yeah, we had a little dust-up there. But I'm not going to let that, you know, influence how I talk about how she plays this hand at all.
Okay. All right, we'll see.
I'll be totally impartial.
All right, so it's not Pot Limit Omaha High, which would have been nice, but it is Limit Omaha 8.
Oh, okay.
So there are some Omaha undertones here that might help you in the upcoming ace events.
We'll see.
All right. It is a $2, $4 online limit eight table, live game.
Okay,
all right.
Cool.
And our hero, Bernice, is in the cutoff position. And it doesn't look like chip stacks really matter too much. We have one or two short stacks that probably don't have enough to put in full bets.
Okay.
All right. A couple folds and then a couple calls before it gets to us. And again, we're on the cutoff with ace of diamonds, two of diamonds, jack of spades, four of diamonds.
I like this hand.
That's a pretty good hand.
Three to a wheel, two to the nut low, and then if that's counterfeited, we got a pretty good chance at a low and nut flush draw. Plus, we got a Broadway draw, we got a straight draw, wheel draw, we got all kinds of stuff here. So. I like this hand.
Yeah, but the only thing I don't like is that we got a third diamond.
Yeah, third diamond.
But that's
who cares?
Immaterial.
Yeah, that right now that's immaterial. Right. We're hoping to scoop with a nice wheel here. We're not really caring about the flush. You know, it's only one out. That's out. So let's move on. What do we do here?
What do you do here? I know what she does. I know what I would do, but I don't know what you would do.
I would two limpers already. So there's probably $12-14 in the pot. So it's tough. I may just call. Because people limping might have the same hand as me, and if they don't, then I know I have the nut low, and to raise it now is only going to get those guys with the connectors to come along. So I'm probably just going to call. I don't know. I'm probably just calling.
But this is interesting because I'm reading a book now by, and I totally forget the author and I feel bad, but he's done a lot of computer simulations on Omaha 8, and particularly low limit. This book is geared to low limit, and he says because of the how the computer simulations work, there's a completely different strategy for low limit versus higher limits. And mm-hmm. higher limits, I think, are like, you know, 5, 10 and up.
Right, right.
So this qualifies as a low limit, $2, $4. And he says that raising drives out the weaker hands that you want in the hand. If you're in a higher limit game, like a 5, 10, 10, 20, or something like that, raising is the optimal move because... You don't want to go up against those tough players. But in these lower level games, you want that dead money, those people that are going to come along with ace tray or ace four or ace five or, pocket queens or something like that. You want that money in, and raising is only going to drive it.
So what you're saying is that my innate poker ability has risen to the top and basically done exactly what this book says to do without me even reading it. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah,
I shouldn't have raised?
It could be, yeah.
All right, so I didn't raise, and that's good. I got a call here.
All right.
What does Amy Bernice Q do?
That's what she does, too. And, I think there's a time when I would raise with any decent hand. But I'm willing to kind of buy this whole limp and see what happens kind of stuff now.
Yeah.
It's such a powerful hand that... You have to know your table, too. If your table is one that never folds, then why not build this pot and get some money? But, all right, so we're going to call here. Now, she says that she knows some people would raise with ace-two in a backup four. But with the callers before, she says she knows she won't chase anyone out, kind of what he's exactly saying. And I'll only be building a pot guaranteeing no one will ever fold a draw later on.
Yeah, that's also what I was saying. Yep. Yeah, I was saying that about drawing the odds of connectors and shit. So.
All right, so she just calls. Now, the button raises, though.
Ooh.
See, this is what you like about this, though. If somebody else is going to do the raising for you, all the better.
Yeah, but that even when it gets back to us, we're probably just going to have to call because raising again isn't going to do anything. It's
no,
just going to get more money out of you without a flop. So.
We're getting that extra money in the pot, and we're not the quote-unquote bad guy that's telegraphing this.
Because that's what we care about when we're playing poker, that we're the bad guy.
Yeah. Now, she says, she stops right here and says that he's raising into all these callers, and then she has to put him either on ace, deuce, and a pair or a pair of suited aces. And he says preflop places are just not that common in Limit Omaha 8, which I probably I probably agree with, actually.
Well, here's the thing. I have to wonder if because there were so many limpers before it got to the button that I have to wonder if maybe he's thinking, all right, I got some high cards here. These guys are all limping, so they probably have low cards. He may have something like a Broadway run, King, Queen, Jack, 10, or he may have like King, Queen, Ace, Deuce, or something like that, where he thinks that, okay, I got the low cover, but I also have the high covered, who knows? I don't know. It could be Ace, Deuce, 3, and then, X, whatever, but it feels like he might have something that's different than your average.
Yeah, that's that whole Mike Matisau idea.
Yeah, yeah,
there's
exactly.
A lot of limpers in front of you, all the low cards are out. If you get high cards, you have a good chance of the low not getting there.
Exactly.
All right, good. The button raises, the small blind calls, big blind gets out of the way, the two limpers before us call, and it gets back to us, and I think we've already decided we're not going to raise. This pot's pretty big as it is, we're just going to call and see whether we can hit it pretty hard.
Right, because that's four...
That's $20 right now.
$20 in a pot.
And
now,
we're
throwing
our $2 in, so it's 22.
Yeah.
So that's a nice little pot.
Yeah, it's a nice little pot to start before the flop.
All right, so our hero Bernice calls too, and now we see the flop: 9 of diamonds, king of diamonds, 5 of hearts.
Oh, that's awesome!
Sort of awesome. I mean, we got the nut flush draw, which is good.
We have the nut flush draw. We have the nut backdoor wheel low draw, and we still have, and we have a pair of fives. That's pretty decent. I mean, you can get another five here. You could get.
We don't have a pair of fives.
Oh, we don't have a pair of five. Oh no, I'm sorry. No. We have four.
Yeah.
All right. So but we still have the nut draw.
Right.
And which is what you want, and you have the odds now to go to the end with this, unless the board pairs and you're scared. But we have the odds to go to the end with this, don't we?
Yeah. No, I'm not dismissing his hand. What I like almost though with the two diamonds is another low card. Not only because I have low, but because if anybody's in this hand with just a low draw, you almost always are going to lose them right now because they shouldn't, even though they probably do
right.
chase two low cards on
right.
the end. I'd like to have one more low there and not have the low get there. My flush
yeah,
get
no,
there.
Yeah. And I'd like a Ferrari in my driveway. You know, we can't always get
what
well,
no, I'm just saying.
So.
That's why I'm not.
Sure. I would love to make the nut flush and the nut low, too. You know, yeah. I mean.
No, what I'm saying is I'm not giddy about this, but it's,
right.
it's a
but
strong
I'm happy,
flop for us.
I'm happy it's a strong flop for us that we don't have to get out and that there's $22 in the pot already for me to look at and say, I'm getting 10-1 on my money right now to call whatever bet is out there and maybe even raise. So.
All right. Very good. All right, well, it's checked around to us. That's three checks. It gets to us.
I think I'm betting. I don't think you would. Maybe, well, you would. In our home game, you bet. But I'm clearly betting here because why play the hand if you're not going to build a pot, you know, for $2? And if it goes sour on you on the turn, you know, we'll see what happens. But even then, I'm betting. I'm betting out.
Well, yeah. Actually, you know what? I'm going to bet here as well, too. One, because I got the good high draw. Two,
yep.
because of what I said, that there weren't two low cards out there, I'm excited about the possibility of knocking out any of these other ace-deuces, or even ace-tray, which is even probably more dangerous now.
And are you hoping...
So don't have to get quartered by him if the low actually gets there.
And are you hoping that the button then raises again so that it
yeah.
will knock out those people? So now
Absolutely.
You're looking at getting isolated with this guy with a back
I have no problem putting $4 in this pot
yeah.
right now.
Yeah, so me neither. All right, so I bet out. What is Bernice Q?
She's going to check here. Now, she says that she obviously flopped a nut flush draw and a backdoor nut low. She's pretty sure that the button is going to bet or raise, so she doesn't want to make it two bets to everyone else. She wants callers in case she hits her flush.
Well, what about the people with, like, baby? You know, I don't know. I don't want to give them the odds to fill up either. There could be small two pairs out there. There could be, you know, like King 9. Somebody could have King 9 or... It's King 9 or you know who knows. I mean, I don't know. I don't. I would rather force people out.
Yeah.
I'm happy with the size of this.
You
pot.
Know, with this flop, I don't know whether you're going to get paid off too much with your flushes. So I wouldn't play trying to hold people in.
Exactly. You make a flush
to get the flush.
The whole
and
world
hoping
knows
that
you
they're going to bet.
Yeah.
So I'd much rather get rid of those other low draws so I can have a low all to myself. When it gets there.
Absolutely.
And if I hit the diamond, all the better, because now I got the high. And
yeah, you don't want to get quartered it. If you only make the low. And you certainly have a big enough pot here that's worth winning. Even if you don't want it right now, it's just one bet, which you know is not going to happen, but I'm just saying.
You know, another thing by betting here, too, particularly, you know, it might drive this button guy out for some reason. I don't know. But if nothing else, you take the lead in the hand, and you might be able to make another stab at this. If you miss again on the turn, it might take it down without actually having a real hand.
Yep.
Because right now, we have ace high.
Yep.
All right. Well, she checks, and then get this, Chris. The button checks behind.
He checks? That's weird.
So it's totally checked around. Now, she says that also that was surprising. What would he check with? you know, obviously, he doesn't have pocket aces, she says. And she's curious as to why he wouldn't even take a stab at thin the field. So she's suspicious.
You know, now I'm starting to think that he had, like I said before, connectors and raised to get the odds to draw. That's the only thing I could think of. I mean, what else could he be afraid of? Unless he's afraid of a set of kings, you know?
Yeah.
Which I doubt, but maybe he has two pairs.
You know, maybe he is on a low draw and being a crazy just raising with the low, or maybe he has some kind of high backup that's not compatible with this flop. And he wants the free card to get to that low draw, I guess.
Maybe he has, or maybe he has two pair. Maybe he has like king jack 10-9 or something, or king queen 10-9 or something like that, and he's got two pair, but he knows that he could be beat by a set of kings or a set of fours or... I mean, I have our set of fives. I mean, I have no idea.
Well, it is interesting with all these people in that it's checked around.
So. Oh, that's weird.
All right, so the pot still remains at $22, and the turn now is the four of clubs.
Yay! We have a made hand. A pair of fours.
A pair of fours are a top kicker.
But we also have the draw to the nut low.
Right.
To a wheel.
Wheel.
And a pair.
Yep.
And a nut flush draw. So I'm not going I can't go anywhere now.
Yeah.
No matter what happens.
I would prefer that would be a three, but
yeah,
I'll be happy with the four.
And I'd like right next to the Ferrari, a Lamborghini, parked right next to that.
All right. Well, now things getting interesting. The small blind bets out.
Small blind bets out.
And then the two limpers and before us also call. So there's three bets, three players in now, and it gets to us.
They have to have low draws because there's no hand got there yet.
It's so I read this hand a couple times at this point, and I'm like, how could this four help anybody other than give them hope for a low draw? And that's not worth betting out.
No, wow.
You know, unless we got three people slow playing something, or two people slow playing, and one idiot chasing a low. I don't know. Very crazy, but you know, hey, that's money in the pot, and we got all kinds of draws, right?
We wouldn't raise
at this point, yeah. With all these people in, I'm just going to be happy calling because
I'm not getting them out.
You know, again, like you said, our made hand right now is a pair of fours. That's not nothing.
All right, I call
draws, but yeah, I don't want to get into a raising war here. All right, so that's exactly what our good hero Bernice does. Now she says she still has a nut flush draw, but now she has a nut low draw, of course, and a pair of fours. Woo! She's not going to fold, but since I'm still drawing, I don't want to raise. I'm never sure when to raise on a draw, though. She says she knows a staple of Omaha is raising on a nut draw, but it just seems like you're laying too high a price for an unmade hand.
I have to agree. I think that she's playing it right, just calling here. Raising is not going to do anything, so let's just call and see what happens.
Exactly. Now, the guy behind us raises.
Well, I'm not going anywhere, so I can't imagine what he's waking up with here. What could he possibly... What is it? Now he's turned a set? I doubt it.
See, you and Bernice are kind of split at birth, I think, because her next line is, now he wakes up! See, you guys speak the same language. No wonder you get upset when you're at the table.
You know, she's from Brooklyn. I'm from Connecticut. But really, what could it be? I mean, maybe it's two pair, and now he's afraid that the low's going to get there, so he wants him to pay more, but no one's going to fold
now. Exactly. And she says that he can't really be raising with a nut low draw, knowing all these other people in the hand that he's just going to get quartered. So
maybe he has a set, and now he's saying, okay, it's time to wake up. Why would you not bet your set earlier? That turn bet is really perplexing.
So, of course, she's upset and confused and everything, but everybody calls and gets to her, and she says, but of course I'm going to call. Because you have to. This
pot. Absolutely.
Huge pot. Huge pot.
Have to call.
He's certainly not going to raise because that's going to be the raising one we talk about. All right, so $62 in the pot.
Jeez.
And, not bad for a little limit.
Unbelievable.
The river is the four of hearts.
Did we just go runner set or trips?
We did.
Wow.
Not really the card we wanted, but it helps us.
Yeah, because, I mean, unless somebody had a set already, which could be the case.
Yeah. It very well could be the case.
But they can't have a set of fours, so they'd have to have, you know, a full house now, a set of fives or something.
Yeah, fives or kings.
Wow. I don't think I'm getting crazy with this hand, but I would probably call a bet.
All right.
Three we'll fours see. With the ace kicker. I would probably call a bet here because no one...
It's been such a weird hand.
Yeah,
and you had to think that people had lows and missed, so...
You have to think sets would have bet out on that flop, and no one did. So, except for us. But, and no one raised, so you'd have to think that if they had a set, they would have bet out already. So the guy who bet in a turn feels like he has two pair, was protecting it, and now we've caught up, I think. I don't know.
All right, well, it's checked around to us, which I think gives us the green light to definitely bet here.
Yeah, I would bet now.
Of course, we got the razor guy behind us, but you know, at this point, I'm willing to call one more.
And can't put that guy in a hand.
If it gets raised by somebody else that's, for some reason, check raising on the river, then I might be able to lay it down. But
but
I'm putting a bet out here.
Yeah, I'm putting a bet out, too. $4 to win 62 or whatever it is? Absolutely.
All right, well, our hero checks. Now, she says that despite having the trips, five people in the hand, she says she can't believe she has the best hand. And she's also expecting a bet from the button guy, who may have been slow playing a set from the flop.
Well, I don't falter for that, because you know how they always say you only get called by a better hand. It's a big enough pot. If I check call, I'm happy with that, too.
That's true.
But I may put a bet out still, but yeah, no, I don't have a problem check calling here.
But at this point, I'm only worried about the guy behind me, and not that you shouldn't be scared, because he was the initial raiser.
And then he raised again.
And raised on the turn. So, but yeah, I guess you could go either way with this. All right, but the button checks behind.
Oh, wow. Wait, that's right. So checked all the way around, so that's it.
Checked all the way around.
Wow.
And she says a four-letter word, expletive, that's not really that bad, but we can't say it on this family show.
What does it rhyme with?
Ma'am.
It rhymes with ma'am? What word can't we say that rhymes with ma'am?
Ma'am, maybe I should have bet. All right, so our showdown, you got to think we probably had this walked up, right?
If you got checked around, we got the best hand.
I'm taking that. All right. It turns out that we are right.
Yes.
The button shows Jack of Clubs, Ace of Spades, Three of Diamonds, Two of Spades, for nothing but a pair of fours.
That was the button?
He was raising with the low draws.
Oh, my God.
I guess he has some kind of straight possibilities.
Wow.
But certainly not worth raising with. Small blind had ten of hearts, nine of spades, king of clubs, eight of clubs.
There's two pair.
So he had two pair.
Somebody had two pair in his hand.
And, you know, I'm actually surprised. First to act, though, but I think I want to put a bet out there with that flush draw out there just to see where I am.
Yeah.
Even if I get raised.
Yeah, to check two pair like that.
Yeah.
And let something catch up. I mean, all kinds of hands catch up there.
Interesting. All right, so the other two hands muck, but one was a six of spades, queen of diamonds, three of spades, ace of clubs. So play with a, going for the second nut low. Bad. And then the other one, five of spades, two of hearts, six of clubs, ace of hearts. So there would have been a quartering there.
Yeah. So we win it all. Huge pot. I like it when we win. I'm tired of everybody coming in and saying, what would you have done because I lost his hand? I like it when we win once in a while. Excellent. Nice job. Nice job.
She says she hates missing value bets, but realistically, she says she would have only been called by anyone, just the guy with two pair.
Yeah.
So she probably didn't miss out on any money there.
And he probably wouldn't have called either.
In this particular hand. But
you know what else, too? That guy might not have called anyway because there was a pair of fours on the board, which means either someone has trips or someone could have pocket aces, like the button guy kept raising, and he would have counterfeited two pairs. So even then, you might not have gotten called. So nice hand. Glad you won. Wasn't too happy that you beat me out of that other hand. But good job, and let's spin the wheel one last time.
All right.
Here it goes.
Okay, Amy, you win a All Balls card protector from PokerFaces.tv. This is a new one. We haven't had
that. I don't know what to say about that.
it's got like a football on it.
Good.
So, yeah.
All right.
Don't take your head that way.
I just didn't know what to make of that. That's all. All right, another good show. Good luck in the free roll. We'll see you then. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
We'll see you at the tables. Annie Up is a production of AnnieUpMagazine.com and is recorded at WDAE 620 AM in Tampa. Contact us at podcast@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call our hotline at 813-448-1120. If you'd like to advertise, send us an email at advertising@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call 727-331-4335. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network.